There's a Southern Baptist pastor, preacher, evangelist, revivalist named Dudley Hall. Some of us still remember the name. He's still alive. He's still doing his thing. And I would tell you that one opportunity that came his way years ago is at the fall of the Iron Curtain when the USSR became Russia again. He was with the first group of pastors that got to go over to now Russia, right when this happened. And he said that he took a small carry-on bag with clothing. And he said he carried a big suitcase that he checked that was full of Bibles because he knew he was going to preach in places where they didn't have a Bible. In fact, one place had 3 or 5 pages out of the book of John. And that's the totality of scripture that they had available to him. So he was so stoked that he was going to get to rightly divide the word of God for them. And he gets to some of these places and he's preaching and he's talking to them afterwards. And he said he found out the most amazing thing in the world. The most amazing thing was, it's while they didn't always know the scripture reference that he was using, the Holy Spirit had already taught them the message. And sometimes, and this is where I bump my glasses on, and it just hit me after a rough spot last night. In the book of John, in chapter 5, starting in verse 39, you study the scriptures diligently, speaking to the Pharisees. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. We have to remember that we don't want to fall in this category of a people that is so in love. Now, brace yourself because it's a hard thing to hear. We're so in love with the Bible that we forget to worship the author. We forget to worship the author. And Spurgeon, in one of his great statements, and I think it is a great statement, he said, many times pastors look at many different commentaries. And he said, it's okay, I guess. He said, but why don't they just go to the best commentary, which is the one by the author? And it comes back to the same thing. You turn your heart towards Jesus. You turn your heart towards Jesus. You walk in a relationship, and that's hard sometimes. Sometimes he walks us through things that are incredibly important for us to know, but we just don't know it at the moment. So today, when we do this, my heart's a little funny at the moment. I'm just going to share with you that last night, twice, Evie had to put her hand on my chest and going, Greg, it's okay, it's okay. In my dream, I was having a pretty severe wrestling match, and I'm yelling. That happens occasionally. Now, I can tell you that part of it, 34 years as a cop, I've been shot, I've been cut. When that happens, you just win. Winning is good. So I have a little bit of PTSD probably that would manifest itself sometimes. And that's called confession. Sometimes I just have a rough night, but last night was very specific. And then when the times where I'd wake up and I was laying there in bed, the warfare praying, and so what's the battle? What's the battle? Sometimes I don't get to know the battle, I just get to wage war. And sometimes God may not tell you why you're in a fight, why you're doing it, but I would encourage you. And I'm going to say it this way for just a moment, so pause right there. There's a Hebrew word that they use toasting a lot, lachaim. And it's a great word because it means to life. In fact, there's a little song from a musical, to life, lachaim, 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 to life. But what it really means when it says life, it means both of those Greek words, zoe and bios. Bios for biological life, because they're saying you should live that life and you should live it well. But they're really also focusing on zoe, which is spiritual life. And it's both of them at the same time. And what the battle which we fight is sometimes with ourselves, sometimes just directly with the enemy. But the victory comes through Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we go through scripture today, there's practical aspect to it. There's bios. But there's also deep zoe. And so pay attention with your heart and with your head. Too many times when we memorize scripture, we memorize it here, and we don't make the jump to here. Because heart is where we respond to God. It's where he speaks to us. So, three scriptures. Well, three sections. The first one, I want to have this new Bible. Today, the authorized edition is the New International Version. It feels so fun to say that because, you know, in the beginning of the King James, it says authorized. So today, I'm using the NIV. Brand new Bible for me. Not the translation of this book. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, you know them well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Easy and simple, but it's not. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If God says it, it's so. If God says it, it's so. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And you look around the room. I sit in the most of the Sunday school class for the, what's the word we used to use, youths, teenagers. It, by the way, y'all are great. It was engaging. You speak out. You even say what's on your heart occasionally, right? Since you did. Anyway, the side note. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. If this is the spectrum from not very smart to smart, and so we'll put the Lord God himself infinitely across this room over there. And just because I despise them, I'm going to put cockroaches right here. I don't like cockroaches. Does anybody here really like that little Coleoptera cockroach? Yeah, I know. And it grosses me out when they go running across the floor in the dark, you know. Anyway, so they're here. So where are we on the scale? Here or over there? I'll tell you, we're nowhere near God's intellect. Nowhere near. You're right. We are over here. I put the cockroach here and I put us about right there. So when you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, you're saying, I am going to choose to believe God even if I disagree with it. Because sometimes we put value in ourselves over God. Sometimes we have to rely on truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. That's right. And so it goes on to say, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways submit to him. And he will make your path straight. You know, what is submit? What? And this is, I mean, it's a serious question. You don't have to answer up from up here, but submitting to God. So when you're reading through Scripture, when you're having personal time in the Word, when you're studying to show yourself approved, when God speaks to your heart, you need to stay with it until that's applied to your life. And it becomes more important to you to believe what God has said and act upon it, walk in it, than it is to go anywhere else. And when I first came to Christ, you know, I talked to my pastor at the time, and he said, start in the book of John, which is exactly what I would say to someone. Our daughter-in-law started reading the Bible, and she started in Genesis 1:1. It gets pretty bloody pretty quick. And we would have said, start in John. So anyway, I started in John, and every morning I would get up, and as soon as I was ready, I'd go into the living room, and I'd get down on my knees in front of my rocking chair, because I had one chair. And I would have my Bible open, and I would go, okay, God, let's start. And I would pray just a little bit, and then I would start reading. And if it was trust in the Lord with all your heart, sometimes, except that's not in the book of John, but I would stay there until I began to grasp what that meant and be able to do it, to be able to do it. And so when I have to trust him more than I trust me. And we're a people that like to trust ourselves. We like to trust our judgment. We like to trust our friends. Even when we know there's better sources out there, we will trust something else more than we'll trust the Lord. And then don't lean on my own understanding. Don't lean on my own intellect. Don't lean on my own smarts. But in everything within me, choose to submit to Him. And if that means you have to do it like a puppy dog would and roll over on its back and expose your belly to it, then roll over on your back and expose your belly. Total submission. Total submission. It's not like giving up to your boyfriend or girlfriend. This is God we're talking about. And this is where He speaks, you listen, you set yourself aside, and you submit to His will for you. It's really easy thing to say. It's just really a hard thing to do. And He will make your paths straight. He'll make them right. I so often think about the times in my life where I don't necessarily get it right, and I'll submit to me. And I don't make as good of choices. And you've got really two choices in life with your heart of hearts. You can keep your heart tender and yielding to God, or you can let your heart get hardened. And sometimes, from a Christian modality, you'll let your heart get hard over legalism. You'll choose to obey the letter of the law rather than God's intent. And look how many... How many of you watched The Chosen? Anybody in the room besides me? Okay. Well, just as an example from The Chosen, at one point, which, by the way, is a clear reflection of Scripture, when they ask Him, are you going to comply with the law of Moses? And He looks at them and He says, I am the law of Moses. And that is absolute truth. And from their perspective, was absolute blasphemy. How many times do you misinterpret Scripture? How many times when you've read the story about the road to Emmaus, Jesus has been crucified, He's been buried, He's risen from the dead. Not a lot of people know it yet. And here's these guys walking to Emmaus. And this guy, Jesus, starts walking next to them. And He has not allowed them to recognize who He is. But He's walking with them, the same Jesus that they've walked with before. And He's walking with them, and He goes, well, why are your face so looking down? Why are you so depressed looking? What's wrong? And they say, haven't you heard anything? Don't you know what's going on? I mean, they're talking to the ruler and creator of the universe about, do you know what's going on? Just for perspective on it. And they're walking along, and he starts sharing from the very scriptures that refer directly to Him. And they talk later about it, and they said, weren't our hearts burning within us as he was speaking to us? And then they get to their destination, and they're going to the room to have dinner, and they ask Him to come with them. And when Jesus broke the bread and prayed, their eyes were opened, and then He was gone. So what is it about us that sometimes we won't see Jesus? I get to the point in my life that it's like everywhere I go, it's like I'll watch some stupid movie that has nothing to do outwardly with anything, and I see God in it. I see how our hearts have done this to us to make us do one thing or another. But our focus in our life, our heart, has to be on the Lord Himself. If you don't know Him, you can't submit to Him. So, moving along with this, we're moving to a different place. This one will be, just so easy to hear. Again, something that you probably read many times. Acts chapter 9. So this, before Paul was Paul, and he was Saul, and he, meanwhile, Saul, starting in verse 1 of chapter 9, was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. "I'm Jesus who you're persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." Now, this is the most amazing thing for the average Christian today. God said, "Ananias," and Ananias said, "Yes, Lord." You can believe whatever you want to, but I'm telling you, this disciple knew who was speaking his name. He knew what he was saying. So, "Ananias, yes, Lord." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he shall make your path straight. "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." Well, what would you say when God said, what do you say to God? Well, when he called his name, "Yes, Lord, this is what I want you to do." Well, I'm not saying no, God, but let's think about this for a minute. This is the guy, and he explains it all to God, like God didn't know who this was. And then the Lord said to Ananias, verse 15, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you're coming here, has sent me that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Oh my. What I do know, that I'm called to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm called to not trust in myself, because I'm really fallible. Just so it's a comfort, so are you all. And then I'm also called to submit. I'm to submit to the Lord in everything. So if it's the Sabbath and the Lord says, "Go eat that wheat," and the Pharisees come out and say, "You can't eat that wheat because you're harvesting." Well, I'll tell you right now that Jesus is also the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of Shalom. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord. And God may call upon you for strange and mighty and wonderful things. And sometimes it's just really simple stuff. And when it is, just submit. And when it's complex, just submit. Do what he says. Ananias, from a modern standard, is an absolute miracle. He did not question whether God spoke to him. He did not question that God called his name. He did not question that he knew what the words were that God spoke to his heart in his vision. He discussed with God what was going on and who this was. And when God said, "Nope, this man's my chosen vessel, you go do it." And he did. But the result was Saul became Paul. The scales fell from his eyes. And he got up and was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. So how does it work when it's applied to you? What's God speak to you? I'm meeting with the elders right after the service for a little bit, and one of the things they're going to talk to me about today is how God has spoken to them this week. If God's not speaking to you, check your heart. If he's not speaking to you, check your heart, because you usually have to get yourself out of the way. And that's the hard part, is you have to die to yourself. You have to die to yourself to not pay more attention to you than you do to your friends, to God. Then you have to submit to him. Ananias submitted. And we have Saul who became Paul. That's a pretty big deal. I debated on going through the whole litany of all of the who led Moody to the Lord, who led a particular, I think, since I did some research, I think a shoe salesman who led Mordecai Ham to the Lord, who led Billy Graham to the Lord. So there's a track here. There's a track here. There's even a couple in this room that met at a Billy Graham School of Evangelism and got married, and here Evie and I are. You know, you never know what'll come out of Mordecai Ham. Who'd have thought? What I do know is God does not always explain to us every detail of why he wants us to do something. But I want you to know that he also has right of command, and he has right to use your life as he chooses. You know, what if God called you to go on a short-term mission trip, like do Vacation Bible School this summer? Are you willing? Woohoo! What if he called you to go to some place you don't want to go? You know, I've often told God, Lord, I'm willing to go anywhere you want, but I really don't want to go to Tunisia. I really don't want to go to Tunisia, and I have no good reason why. But I said, but I'll do it if you want. Are you willing to set yourself aside? I did go to El Salvador a year ago, 2 years ago, last summer. Yeah. No, summer before. Was it last summer? You know, when you're in your 70s, things start to flow together. I apologize. I really didn't want to go, but I knew in my heart that God was having me go. And really, did I do anything great and mighty and wonderful? The greatest thing that happened is when I was prayer walking in a room, my left foot stepped down and suddenly disappeared. And I'm dropping, and I catch myself in a full squat on this leg. I can't do squats anymore. I've ripped the quads off my kneecaps. It hurts. Don't do that. They've been reattached. I don't have as much flexibility or strength. But I stood right back up, and I'm going, okay, for me, that was a God moment. There was a baptistry hidden under the rug over the piece of lightweight flooring. I didn't know it was there. So I can't say great things happened, but I got to do more praying than I'd done in a long time. I learned to submit in a way that I'd never learned to submit before. There was a little girl who was the secretary for the convention or that association. And she was assigned to make sure I didn't do anything grotesquely stupid. And at one point, we're eating, and this little Christian school had a great time with the teachers there. But we're sitting down to eat. And before we sit down, the men there are looking at me and looking at the chair. And they're the plastic chairs that you could stack. They went and got a second one and put on top of it and go. So I sat down. I'm only 252 pounds. Give me a break. So I sit down on it, and I'm eating my rice and my the sour cream that's real liquidy, and my tortilla and my chicken thigh, and it was really good. And then at the end, this lady comes by and has this tray with little bags, and the bags are either red or orange, and I take the red one because it looks tastier to me, and I set it down, and I'm looking at it trying to figure out how do I. Because it's like slushy in there. How am I supposed to do this? And I just glance up, and across from me is this little girl. She goes, she speaks no English. And I went, okay, I'm trainable. I'm trainable. So I learned to submit to her, probably for the good of my gut. I can tell you there's been many times in my career, and that's the pastor career, my career, the law enforcement career, in my personal time, where I've gotten accustomed to God speaking, and there's purpose to it. One night, and I'm going to share this story, and then we'll go to a little bit further in this. I was down at the parsonage with several people, and we were standing in the kitchen of all places. Kitchens are good places. And that still small voice of the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And for those of you who know who Carl Stewart is, a general police officer, not necessarily a very nice man. And God spoke to my heart that I should go out to the airport and lead him to the Lord. Well, and I'm thinking, with man, this is not a happening thing. With God, all things are possible. So, and I think what's going to go out there is I'm going to go out and I'm going to get hurt. Okay, that could happen. And so I drive out there, and I think that we should always be prepared to die. I'm serious about that. You should always be prepared to die. Like I said, been shot, been cut, you should be prepared. But then you continue walking and you fight through, and it's better to win than lose. But I went out there, and I went into the general police office, and I got on the radio and called him over, and went out, and he said, I said, "Look, can we talk?" And he goes, "Sure." He said, "You drive." So I got in the car, and we're out on the tarmac, and we're talking, and I go, he goes, "Why are you here?" And I go, "Well, I'm here to lead you to the Lord." And he goes, "What?" And I go, "I'm here to lead you to the Lord." And he goes, "But you don't understand." And I said, "What?" He goes, "You don't understand the things that I've done. God can't save me. But I'm going to tell you," a few minutes later, with tears streaming down his cheeks, he accepted that God could do what God said he came to do, which is to seek and save those that are lost. And I'm going to tell you, there's tons of people out here, and of course, at, you know, 252, that can be fewer pounds than or fewer people. But there's a lot of people out here that don't know that they're lost. And that was the problem with Pharisees. Many of the Pharisees is they did not know they were lost. So Jesus came to seek and save those that are lost, but you have to come to a point of knowing that you need a Savior. And how do they know except they hear? And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when we're talking about, in that context, the Word of God, the words that Jesus has spoken, the words the Holy Spirit literally has breathed, Dwar is the word, and it means the speech of God in that context. And so our job is to share that. We're to share that with people that so they can understand it. And then they have a choice. One, to recognize their need. And then two, to seek the one that can save them. And then they have to submit. You know, what if you had leprosy and you were the commander of an army? Your name might be Nahum. And you come to the prophet because somebody had said, "Hey, there's this prophet, and he could pray for you." And you go to the prophet, and the prophet tells you to go bathe in this dirty river when you have the clear river where you came from. And the guy said, "What do you hurt? What does it hurt to submit?" Well, he lost nothing and gained everything by submitting. And I know in my case, I was 27 when I came to Christ, into the road, Sitka, Alaska, in the driver's seat of the police car. And I can tell you, I'm going to tell you my prayer. It was real complex. Now, a friend had shared with me, when you see two cop cars like this, you never know what they're talking about. If you know where the library is in Sitka, next to the Centennial Building, we were there. It was doing something it does in Sitka. It was raining. It was windy. It was a dark night. The ocean was turning and tossing behind us. And I said, "Dale, you Christians talk about the salvation nonsense, but you don't talk about how to do it. How do you do that anyway?" Rather than just going, "Oh, please lead me to Jesus," I was too proud to do it. And he said, "Greg, life's like a great big dark ocean. And we're all in the water." And he said, "Some of us are terrible swimmers and we go down quick. But some of us are really good swimmers." He said, "You're a really good swimmer." I'm thinking, yeah, lifeguard instructor, trainer, water safety instructor, trainer, scuba diver. I get the analogy. And he said, "You got to recognize that there's something out there. And you have to recognize that it has something you don't have. It floats. But when you examine it, you find out that it's not that he floats and you don't. It's that he has authority over the water and you don't." He said, "You've got to recognize that his name is Jesus. And you've got to want him and you've got to reach out and you've got to grab a hold of him." And I said, Yeah, thanks a lot. It's time for you to go home. Your shift's over." And so he left and I on by myself the rest of the shift. I drove out to just past the ferry terminal, it's a little historical marker near the end of the road. Parked the car, still raining. And here comes this masterful prayer according to all Southern Baptist standards. I went, "God," and for the first time in my life, I knew in my heart of hearts that the ruler and creator of the universe, my Lord Jesus Christ, was listening to me. I said, "God, I've always known there's a God. And Lord, I choose to believe that you're Jesus." And that belief was not here, but it was there, but mostly here. It was in my heart of hearts. I believed in the Lord Jesus, and I confessed him out my mouth. And at that moment, I knew what saved, born again, born from above, converted, Christian was, because I wasn't, and now I am. I have no idea what I prayed, but I knew that I had to thank him, and I prayed some more. And then at the end of it, I knew that I had to tell somebody. Well, Jesus knew. He was there. I knew. I was there. Now it's about 1:30 in the morning. In a town with bar closure at that time at 5 a.m. So the only person I knew that was awake that wasn't drinking in a bar was my dispatcher. So honestly, I blazed pretty good clip back into the office, got out, walked in, walked up to the dispatch station. I said, "Frida," my dispatcher. And she looks at me and goes, "What?" And I go, "I just asked Jesus into my heart." And she looked at me and she said, "So?" But I'm going to tell you, there's no dismay to it. It, in the sense of Ananias, Ananias asked God some questions, but he did what he was told. He didn't doubt. And I'm going to tell you, when you respond, when you seek the Lord with everything you've got, or you're just laying there, and God speaks to your heart, you got a choice to believe and receive or doubt and do without. My call to you would be to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He'll make your path straight. And if you want a simple scripture of invitation, this is going to be it. And again, one I'm confident you've heard many times. Romans 12, starting in verse 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." I can stop there. God's requirement of us is that you be a living sacrifice, 24/7, 365, or this year, 366. But it goes on and says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." The reason that we submit to God is because what He has for us is so much better than what we have without Him. It's not like we owe Him a little bit, we owe Him everything. And the gift of salvation is free. It's free. But what we offer in return is everything. And I think the simplicity of this is that word I used the other two want to go, yod, open-handed unto God. Everything I am, everything I'm not, everything I've got, it's yours, Lord. And God is free to take, to replace, to use because you belong to Him. You're a member of His kingdom. And this is a kingdom now moment. Is He reigning on earth on the throne? No. Is He going to? Yes. But the moment that you were adopted into the kingdom by surrendering your heart to Him at that moment, it's your obligation to wherever He leads, I'll go. That's your obligation. So we're going to pray. And after that prayer, we're going to have the offering. But during this prayer time, and I will tell you, if Evie and I are standing close to each other, we almost always reach out and hold hands because one, the two become one. And I feel completed with Evie. So if you're here with your spouse and you're close and you can reach out and hold their hand, I'd recommend it. But in the middle of this, with your other hand, whether you do it visibly or not, offer yourself as that living sacrifice. Pure and holy living sacrifice. You're made pure and holy by the shedding of His blood. And say, God, what You want, I choose to want. I submit myself to You now and forever. Father, in Jesus Christ's name, I come to You. And Father, I want to thank You for everything in our lives, the things that are really hard right now, and the things that are really easy, the things that hurt and the things that bring us great pleasure. We submit it all to You. What You want, we choose to want. Father, as You know, because You sent Your Son, not everything in our life feels good. But You'll take everything and work it together for good to make us more like You. Help us, God, to be soft and yielding in our heart and not have to have our heart broken over and over till we can conform to Your image. But let us just yield gently to You, even right now. What You want, we choose to want. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.